right, everybody, welcome back. This is episode 23 of the MGM podcast, Marketabilities.
The future is so bright.
Learn, develop, launch.
Shades. Oh, I thought you were giving me a high five. Are you pointing to
to our logo. Yeah.
Oh.
And specifically today, we're going to talk about the last one, launch.
Ooh. Launch. I like it.
You know, kind of like a rocket, but not really.
Yes.
So today we're going to be talking about launching like a new product or a new service. Mm-hmm. You know, what it takes to start even thinking about that.
Yep.
You know, what emotions can come up, what problems can arise, what can you do about it?
So almost like a product launch playbook.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah.
Just named that right.
Can we put that together and then sell it?
Yeah.
Can we launch the product launch playbook?
That's the plan.
Or is that like a launchception?
Well, it all starts with, we'll have to, a launchception, that's so good. You know, it starts with market research. Is there a need?
Yeah, if you are going into a market where they do not need you in that market, you might not have as good of success if you were going into a market that is empty or on the up and coming. And so you really do have to kind of keep your finger on the pulse and you have to be realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do have to define and study who your customer or your consumer would be.
Yeah.
And are they present? And do you plan to do whatever it is that you're going to do, if it's a product, a service, a business, whatever it is, are you going to do it differently than they may currently be doing it? So even if they're in the marketplace, what perhaps have they missed that you could offer that would set you apart?
Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't even have to be anything that costs you more.
Right.
It could just be doing it slightly different.
Yeah.
You're making it easier on them.
Yeah.
You know,
it could even just be making it more like you, adding your own uniqueness to it that can set it apart.
I mean, that's our positioning statement is we say we have Jacob here at Growing Media. We are different because we have Jacob and we have Lucas. And but, you know, that is important, that positioning statement, because that's going to be essentially your elevator pitch. I think that's what people forget oftentimes when you're going to start a business. It does not need to be convoluted. You need to be able to pitch it in 45 to 60 seconds, your grand plan.
Yeah. Yeah, because if it takes you any longer than that,
you don't understand it.
Well, you don't understand it, but then people don't understand it.
That's right.
Because you've already told them how many things in that minute or 2 minutes or 1 hour that you've been talking to them about that. And they're
like, dude, you lost.
They've already forgotten what you said the first 10 seconds.
Right.
So,
yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
My favorite thing was finding ways when I was pitching to get that big. What's
paycheck
it?
In the sky or what?
Oh, no, just the second they see it, they're just immediately kind of interested.
So. Oh, okay, yeah.
And so when I was in high school, I was in this business class, and we had to create these real legal businesses and then pitch them. And as I kind of went through the circuit of, like, all these kind of pitch meetings and stuff like that and these conventions, it ended with me having to put together a presentation, and I was selling my own business of me making content. And so I knew I was pitching to these people that owned businesses. These were real investors. Mm-hmm. These were real business owners. These were real people in the community. And I knew that I was having a content production business. And so I knew that I had to stand out from anybody else that was doing it. And so the first 3 slides of my presentation looked awful.
Oh, yeah?
I'm talking neon Comic Sans.
Oh,
I'm talking pixelated background. I'm talking more typos than you can shake a stick at.
And I cannot believe that you're admitting this on air.
No, and the first 3 were like that. And I went through the first probably 2 minutes of a 10-minute pitch just acting like acting like this big presentation behind me looked great. And then I cut to one slide and I was like, let's be honest, you weren't taking me serious at all. And that's what it's like if you have bad marketing.
Oh, that's really good.
And then after the 3rd slide, my slides were graphic designed and they looked great and they stood out and they were unique and they were professional.
I'm surprised people didn't leave the room though. You know what I mean?
But it was a hard sell.
He probably had their attention because they're laughing at him internally.
It was legitimately like they were sitting there and they're like, is this kid not realize how he's like talking about all this professional content and then he has something that looks like Microsoft Paint behind him.
Oh my gosh, that is hilarious. But you know, it's so smart because you do, I mean, you have to share and you have to sell that idea to your shareholders. And, you know, for a lot of people, it would be not only your customer, but of course, suppliers, employees, contract workers, anybody that needs to believe in you, you have to sell them.
Yeah.
And so you were selling that creative side of you, which I love. I think that's genius.
And I was trying to show that, like, if you're a local business and you're trying to advertise yourself and your advertising looks bad, you might as well not even be advertising.
That's true.
If it is to a detriment to your image.
Exactly. You totally are. Yeah. And then you become a buffoon. A laughing stock.
That's actually a really good point too, is your image will start to degrade in the public's eye.
These people will be looking at your ads and maybe somehow you're getting a lot of people to look at them, but if they're looking at them and it looks cheap and it looks like they didn't spend time on it, then that's reflective
that's
of you.
That's a big deal. That's
right. That means you're cheap. No, I don't know.
Actually, another thing I want to point out about your little scheme that you did for your presentation is you kept people's attention, which I think is a really hard thing to do in today's market.
Those look great on you.
Because the market is like so saturated, right? And there's people everywhere, people doing the same thing that we're doing. And you know, it's just so dense, right?
Yeah.
But you just could have caught everyone off guard.
they thought I was a lunatic.
Exactly.
As do I. Yeah. But, you know, you've got a plan. So you had a strategy. That's what that was called that day.
Yeah, it was ambitious. But
you were going to sink or swim, baby.
I was going to live or die by
that idea. That's right. You were. And then you have to, once you've pitched it, you know you have people's attention, right? You know that you have your shareholders on board. Then you have to go to a strategy for that launch. Like, okay, you know. Let's strategize. How are we going to do it? When are we going to do it? What is it going to look like? Right?
Yeah. And you need to start early.
Pre-production is so important.
Pre-production. Yeah. No doubt. You need to create that promotional content
early. Yeah. Like you need to be promoting it way before it's actually going to be launched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you hope the Oprahs or the whomever in the world that could get people to like almost put you out of business because they buy so much. That they come out of the woodwork. That's what you want for yourself.
Yeah. And getting it out so early, I mean, people are going to be sharing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can actually kind of get a grasp of like, okay, this, like if you are making a physical product, oh man, this is how many I might need for my launch.
Yeah, you can gauge interest.
Yeah, exactly. And so then, you know, and the same thing with like a website, right? Because whenever like a big company releases something new,
it's coming.
Almost every time their website goes down.
Yeah, it's
because people just flood it, right? It crashes, and now they're losing sales.
Right.
And so you got to prepare for, there's so many variables.
That's a great word, is you have to prepare, and you need to prepare your team because you're one person. You know, you can only create so much graphic design work that you pitched in your class at school. So you need a team of people behind you who could not only produce that for you, but video, you know, photos, brand guides, whatever it is that you're going to need to dispense and in a hurry and often, that needs to be ready to go.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I think another big deal is just making sure your message is consistent across all the marketing. I've seen so many people do their, it's like their messaging is like, oh, we're going to market to these people. And then, no, we're going to market to these people. It's like you need to know exactly who your customer is.
You do.
Yeah.
And then market directly to them. And then market on the platforms that they actually look at.
That's right.
Because it's like pointless to put an ad in a paper if you're not marketing to older people, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Like exactly.
If you want votes for a local government, then put an ad in the paper. Put it in the
paper, no doubt. Leave it on their doorstep. No, yeah, most certainly. That's a big part of it, is defining and studying your customer and knowing them so well, and then of course knowing that pitch so well that you do not deviate from that.
Because if you do, you're either going to get customers you don't want, which in like a service-based industry sucks. Whenever you start to get you know, customers that you don't want, because you're working with people who you don't want to work with, and it makes it the, you know, the job even more frustrating, right? And so if you know exactly who the type of person that you want to work with, then you can go after that.
That's right.
Type of person.
Yeah,
and you can also use that really special amount of time to be able to like pivot if you need to.
Oh, totally.
Gauging customer interest is really important. Like I always relate things back to video, but like movie trailers, stuff like that. So yeah. Those come out a year before the
That's
movie
right.
could possibly come out. But they're
Star Wars, exactly Christmas.
But even then, yeah. they're gauging how well is this going to do? How much hype is there? How much interest is there? Is this a good idea?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. so just keeping your eye on that and just being willing to pivot if you have to.
Mm.
But just while also maintaining that consistency, it's really important.
So smart. Yeah. You got to track and measure your progress, gauge that interest. And then, like you said, rather than dumping a ton of money into something that nobody wants, you can pivot and perhaps change your idea or change that pitch. And it was funny. Somebody, maybe it was on this podcast, they shared an example of there was a movie or something that was so bad and like the Rotten Tomatoes scale and all of that, like everybody hated
yes.
it.
Yes,
And then they re-released because they thought that, but really they were just poking fun at them all along and they didn't go to the second release either.
You're talking
it was terrible.
About Morbius.
Is that what it was?
Yeah,
okay. That was bad.
That's a good example of people misinterpreting the attention that they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
These people are seeing all these jokes and all this attention and all of the trending here, trending there about this movie. Oh, obviously they want to go see it again, even though they didn't go see it the first time. Let's try again.
Right.
Just to have the first movie to bomb twice.
Oh, that's sad.
Oh my gosh.
That is so sad, isn't it?
That's bad.
The glasses off. Is it hard to see?
No,
are you feeling the vibe?
Every time you hand me a new pair of glasses, I feel like it just gives me a different
piece
of a personality that I've never had before.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I mean, you look moisturized. You look like your eyes are protected.
Sunbathed.
You look sunbathed. Yes. Yes. Coming off of his
4th of July,
weekend trip to
home.
Yeah. Taylorville, Illinois. Yeah. Shout out.
Yeah, it was fun. I got to be reminded of how much stuff you've done back in your hometown and how busy you were. And I don't know. I when I was in high school, I did like a 365 project because I knew I wanted to get better at photography. And so I took and edited a photo every single day for a year.
That's commitment,
cool.
man.
And just because all the photographers that I had admired had done something similar. And so I was like, all right, I'll do it for 30 days. And then the 30 days ended and I was like, well, 30 might as well keep going for 330 more.
Yeah,
and so I did it, and it was like, it got to the point where if I was hanging out with friends in high school, it's like they knew, like, oh, he's asking me to hang out, we're working on something. we're gonna go trek through the woods, we're gonna go he's gonna make me stand in a river or like
of course
like wear dirty clothes and like climb around. And so it was all that. And so just going home, it was just like, oh yeah, I shot that there, and so it was just the entire 365 photos. You have to get creative. So
that's
just
a lot of photos. I would get bored. But
you're creative.
That's why he started doing things like taking heads off of people and like, you know, putting instead.
And very surreal photos. People,
we
feel
bad. We can
do
this for your product launch.
Yes, we can.
Yeah. Oh, you get weird with it. Absolutely. I love it. But yeah, these people, the people that I would have like model, I would have to apologize because they'd expect, oh, I'm getting like pretty photos of myself. And I'm like, sorry, this isn't about you.
Yeah, right. Just shut up and stand over there and I'm taking your picture.
Hey, Jacob, talk about, because I know you've done a couple of album artwork for a couple of artists. And I know like that's like, you know, it's like, you know, for an artist, is they're launching
very
a new album.
Important.
It's a big deal. And in the whole process, I mean, I think you were... You kind of knew a lot about the process of that artist that was going through, right? So how long was that process?
Yeah, so I worked with an artist called Max Frost, and he was planning his EP out for, I think, probably 8 to 9 months before the release.
Yeah.
All the songs weren't even completely done or like finalized and even remotely. And it was already him coming up with all of these different ideas. What's the track going to be called? What's the vibe? What's the album cover going to be? And he's the type of guy that does kind of want something weird or something a little bit more surreal. That's just his style. And so knowing that we were able to lean into it, and it was just so much brainstorming, and it's so much like listening to the music and finding out what the music means to them, while also what does it mean to you? What compromise is there in between that? Because I'm coming from a spot of more of like, maybe what the average audience will be listening to, and what they might be interpreting. And then I need the artist to kind of give me, all right, you wrote it. What did you mean?
Yeah. Right.
So it's kind of intention versus impact, you know, and then trying to find like a visual that's kind of somewhere in between that.
Is it true that typically, I mean, I know I've seen it a lot of times, but I don't know if this is the norm or if this is the rule of thumb. The song that you know will be the hit you know, from whatever it is that you're releasing. Well, back in my day, it was an album or
you'd think
whatever.
That. So I...
It doesn't depict that, though? It doesn't need to be along the lines of that song?
So, very interesting. So when I went to LA to shoot this album cover, I made drafts for this song that didn't come out.
About giraffes?
Or just... Drafts.
D-R-A-F-T. Oh, I thought you said giraffes. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, it's drafts
now,
with
a J. No,
that's
a song. Giraffes. Okay.
But
giraffes.
Sorry, we did so many drafts of an album cover for a song that didn't even end up on the album. And, and I think in the way that he was going about it was he the title of that song was just so like visual that he thought, oh, this has to be like the leading track. But personally, I didn't think it was the best track.
Did you tell him that?
No, he's not. He doesn't. I'm not there for that.
Okay.
I'm not there to
this song sucks. Do not
yeah,
put it on
I, I'm there to
he's
just
not
interpret.
The music producer.
No, right. I'm just there to interpret it. And I at the end of the day, I guess maybe he hadn't quite found the sound that he was looking for yet, so it wasn't even included in the title track. Had a completely different name, completely different vibe, and it was almost like visually and just kind of in its whole aesthetic, it was like a completely different album just because of one change. And so it is kind of like, is the title track on the song that the whole album's named off of, is it the most interesting title? Is it the most like clickbaity or just ear-grabbing title? Or is it actually the best? Who knows? And that's exactly what he did. He pivoted, though. He realized that for whatever reason, maybe he wasn't happy with it. Maybe he just, like I said, hadn't found it quite yet.
Right.
And he realized that he changed it.
But did you get paid for all the designs that you had to make and blow up and start again and design again and draft this?
Yeah. Okay. Fortunately. Okay. That's why when you're doing these things, you have to be very careful. Yeah. I did one when I was in very early college. I would send out about 100 DMs a day to artists asking just for work.
Crazy.
And I got one.
That's the next podcast, though. You guys tune in for that. We're going to talk about being young and hungry.
I will give you all of the tips. Trust me.
So good.
And I think I made this album cover, and then I like 2 days after I made it, the band broke up.
Oh, my gosh. So needless to say, you sent your invoice, but the crickets are still
there's no one to
on that
pick
one.
That up.
Man, but, that stinks.
Yeah, all I could really do was just laugh at it, and
it was a good experience.
I had a good time, but
oh, you got a guilty conscience.
No, we just lost our screen.
Oh,
I'm upset about it. I don't know why.
See? That's all right. I was wondering what you were looking at.
Yeah.
Anyways. All right. Well, that means it's time for us to go if we lost our screen, right?
Yeah, sure.
Just like put up a full screen and tell people.
I do think it's a sign.
Yeah.
It is a sign to bow out.
Yeah. You never want to overstay your welcome.
You don't.
Leave them wanting more.
That's right. 45 to 60 seconds, or in this case, nearly 20 minutes, you know, whatever you need to give them.
Yeah.
All right. It's a winning product. It's a winning podcast. We can hook you up with your own. Go to
growing.media at Instagram or Facebook or growingmediamarketing.com. It'll be like right here.
Absolutely.
Very nice.
Anything you need, we got it.
We got it. That's right. All right. Tune in next time as we do talk about the young entrepreneur, the hungry individual, no matter the skill level.
And you'll see which pair of sunglasses Angie gives me next.
Ooh.
We're on a streak right now.
I actually broke my other pair today, so that's it. But sorry. One. Okay, we're out.
Bye.
Peace. See you later.